Wonderful world of what we're trying to do here. Well, my name is Albert Hernandez. They call me the Untamed Chef. And what we're going to do is we're going to be doing a little bit of educating on how amazing the food world is by way of the airwaves. So, like I said, my name is Albert. They call me the Untamed Chef. I am a foodie, always in heart. I love to cook. And I love to always transform and make new and incredible things. I've been very blessed, and I am glad to be with you this evening. If you want to get a hold of me, www.ajhtheuntamedchef.com, www.foodietv.com, www.brilliantideasradio.com. A couple of upcoming events that I have. We have the 4th Annual Modesto Harvest Festival, October 18th, and we are close, so now we can tell what this wonderful theme is. The theme is Star Wars, everybody. Dun, dun, dun. That's my best Star Wars impression that I got. Anyways, I'm going to be doing some unique Star Wars treats, from Ewok guts to green eggs and Chewbacca to Jabba the Hutt ice cream, and we've got permission from Mr. Lucas's team himself, so we're okay. I think we don't have to worry about any copyrights or anything like that. So put your Star Wars gear on and come out to Modesto Harvest Festival and help us celebrate the harvest and the our wonderful bounty of our county, and just trying to represent everything we're trying to do out there. Sunday, October 19th, is the 2nd Annual Menudo Festival with special musical guest Latin sensation Malo, where I will be demonstrating how to cook a menudo from start to finish in 1 hour. So wish me luck. Say a prayer. I'm going to need it. It's going to be a fast hour. Saturday, October 25th, 2014, Fall Wine Cornucopia here in beautiful Fresno, California, where I will be doing a unique demonstration. I can't really give out too much of that, but as we get closer, I promise to let you guys know what I'm going to be doing and post the recipe on my website. And we have confirmed that our beautiful Dining in the Dark at the Cellar Door pop-up restaurant is a go. We're still debating on the actual date. It's going to probably be Thursday the 16th. I have to double take a look at my calendar here, and I'll let you know before the end of the show. And we're going to be doing 4 courses in the dark. We're going to use all of our senses but our eyes so we can really appreciate and understand how valuable our eyes really are to us, but also be able to taste food in a whole different way, utilizing our senses with textures, scents. It's going to be fantastic. And Saturday, November 22nd, I will be doing a demonstration here at the Visalia Grocery Outlet, how to cook a complete Thanksgiving dinner in 30 minutes. We've got a beautiful new Mexican rubbed turkey, roasted whipped potatoes, spicy arroz covert with a cranberry and serrano chili stuffing, brown demi gravy. It's going to be a very fun show. I hope everybody could come on out. It'll be fantastic. Before we get started, I want to give a special thanks to all of my amazing personal sponsors who make it possible for me to come out and to mingle with all of you out here in public, but more importantly, make me have this opportunity to share what I do and what I love. So special thanks to Madrid's Team Realty, to the Cellar Door, Visalia Quicksmog, the California Association of Agriculture and Labor, Sunblessed Orchard, T. Roxel's Bistro Blend, Mr. Victor Perez and his wonderful law firm, Selzer and Dillard Funeral Chapel, the Visalia Grocery Outlet, and to my new sponsors, we have the Colburn Cattle Company. How you doing, Ron? I hope all is well. I look forward to working with you and seeing what we could come up with. And to Cooking Sensations Gourmet Seasonings, and let me tell you, this stuff is very, very unique. They've got a rub for fish. They have a rub for chicken. They've got a rub for beef. They've got rubs that don't have salt in them. So if you're trying to watch your salt intake and you still want that bold flavor, cooking sensation, they definitely have your back. And a special shout out to Debbie and Joey. You guys are awesome. Welcome to our team. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so we have a really special guest tonight. We've got Mr. Jake Summerfield. A unique style of chef. He's in a whole bunch of different things. So what I'm going to do is we're going to bring him on, and when we bring Jake on, he's going to let us know what he's doing. We'll run him through our little culinary gauntlet here, and then we'll get started. Jake, how you doing?
Good, Albert. How are you doing?
You know what, man? I am enjoying this California weather. It's nice out here today. I think it's somewhere in the 80s, which isn't too bad because my wife hates when I have it, you know, 70 and lower. So I can kind of just open the windows today and let the air circulate around. It feels really good. So how are things out there where you're at, my friend?
It's cold. we actually just got our first cold snap of the season over here. I'm out in Northern Virginia, so I think we only got up to about maybe 65 or so today. It's other than that, just living the dream, man.
All righty. Well, that sounds good, my friend. So first thing, before we get started with the full-out interview here, Jake, we're just going to go down my quick question that I have here that I have on my show. What we like to do is we just want to get to know you a little bit better before we start picking your brain apart. This makes us be able to stretch and express the time as best as we possibly can. So here we go. Who is your culinary inspiration?
As far as inspiration, I really say have to say that's kind of a two-parter. I'm originally from out in Missouri, so you know I got to go with Grandma. You know that's where I got my start. That's where I obviously love food. As far as a professional inspiration, you know I really got into Alton Brown back when I was younger, when I was first starting to really move around in the kitchen a lot. Have to say that's where it's at for me.
All righty. Well, then I think you kind of answered the second question, because the second question is, if you could ask that chef anything, what would it be?
That's a little bit of a tough one. One of the things that drew me to him was he really explained the science behind the food and just asking him, you know, how did he come up with his off the wall ways to kind of present that. Because, you know, as chefs, you know, we're always looking for that new creative outlet. And that was one thing that just, it seemed to go real natural for him. And it's one of those things that, you know, we need in our day-to-day lives as chefs. So,
you know, it's funny, Jake, I have to say, you know, Alton Brown was the only reason I used to watch the Food Network, that and Iron Chef America, just because he really broke down how to really cook. When I watched Alton's show, I learned something. And when you're learning something in the kitchen, that really makes it makes us more drawn to what we're doing, and it makes you really want to go out there and practice what he's preaching. And I have to say, Alton Brown is a very unique personality. I wish he'd be doing more of his shows and not more of this, you know, kitchen, Cutthroat Kitchen and all these other, you know, shows. I don't think they give him enough justice, because he really is. He's a food genius, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree on that, and you know, it's almost I do kind of like Cutthroat a little bit, just because you get to see the evil genius come out a little bit too. So,
you know what, I didn't want to point it out, but yeah, you know what, Alton's a funny guy. I used to love trying to watch you, and him and Paula Deen were in the same room. He absolutely just can't stand the woman, and he would. You could just see the body language, man. It was just hilarious. All right, man. So moving on, what's your favorite restaurant where you are at right now in Virginia?
That's a hard one. There's a lot of good ones out here. I actually just recently started traveling up towards Washington, D.C. a little bit more. Jose Andreas hosts his Dine and Dash every year. Where, you know, you get to walk around to all these different great restaurants and, you know, kind of sample the food, sample the atmosphere and everything. And one of the best ones that I actually was up there, I got to go to Haleo and Zetania for the first time, both of them, which are Jose Andreas' two of his restaurants up there. And
wow.
I'll have to say that those are definitely my favorites as of right now.
That's incredible. I know that Haleo, I think he won a James Beard Award for. I think that's incredible that You got to try those eateries. When you eat at a James Beard Award eatery, it's so much different. I don't even know how to explain it. It's so unique, and what they're doing is, I don't know. It's beautiful. It's art. It's the ambiance. It's the whole package. So good for you. I'm glad you got to go and try that out. Okay, so I got to ask you, Jake, what is your favorite dish to cook? What's the one that, you know, you can cook, you know, all the time? You don't need a recipe for it. It's just your dish, and people, they ask you all the time, hey, Jake, make sure you make this dish. What dish would that be?
I honestly, Albert, I think that'd have to be a quick two-parter as well. It really goes down to personal life to professional life. You know, one of my best friend's moms, she made this venison stroganoff. You know, I'm a country boy. I love my game meats, and venison's definitely at the top of the list. And I've adapted that recipe for my personal life, and that's definitely at the top of the list.
Venison stroganoff.
A nice slow cooker recipe. It melts in your mouth. It takes away all that gaminess that people tend to not like. It's an awesome dish. As far as a professional one, I've actually been doing a play on pork and beans for a couple of years now. It really speaks to the male primitiveness of the male brain, and that's it's bacon wrapped bacon. It's slow roasted pork belly wrapped in applewood smoked bacon and deep fried with a white bean and black eyed pea cassoulet.
Goodness.
That hits home for me right there. It's like I don't know what else to say. It's breathtaking and a heart attack.
And I think I've seen that picture before, Chef. I think in Extreme Culinary Outfitters, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was that was a beautiful dish. And that like you said, that hits home for you. That just lets us know already, you know, what kind of a chef we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a chef who appreciates the value of comfort food, but with you know, comfort food can be just as sexy as, you know, as non-comfort food. And I try to explain that to people all the time, you know. Everything, meatloaf. Absolutely not. If you do that meatloaf right and you make it sexy, that could go on any fine dining menu that you could put out there. And what you just said right now, Chef, it puts that exclamation mark that, you know, we can do comfort food. We can make it sexy. We can make it, you know, chic. And people love it, you know, and they really do. And it helps with the whole farm-to-fork movement, you know. Trying to stay with the comfort roots always are the best way to go. All righty. So we're moving down our questions here, Chef. Where would you want to work at if you possibly could, even if it was just for like a stage or an internship, just for a while? What place stands out the most?
I'd probably have to say Moto out in Chicago. I'm starting to be a little bit more familiar with Chef Cantu's his style, and you know, he and I talk on Facebook and stuff all the time. You know, just kind of bouncing ideas and, you know, kind of trying to absorb a little bit from him, even just over the internet and over emails and stuff like that. And it's one of those things that being the young gun, you know, I just blew out the candles last month, turning 23. So it's one of those things. I'm really interested in that kind of the new wave that's hitting the culinary scene, which is, you know, the stuff that they're doing out there at Alinea and Moto.
Yeah, I think that's exactly. And you know, what's funny is, well, first of all, congratulations to Moto. They just got their first Michelin star. I believe it
was
early this year. Yeah, so good for them. They definitely deserve it. Rich and Omar, they work very hard to make sure that everything's rolling there, along with the rest of the amazing crew over there. So a shout out to my buddies over there at Moto. Secondly, yeah, I think if you were to call Chef Cantu and ask him for a 1 week stage, I'm more than certain he would do it. He's really about inspiring and helping people out, especially with same way his mentor Charlie Trotter put him on the path, you know, of culinary greatness. He's trying to share the wealth, and he's one of those really great guys, and he's a very, very amazing culinary mind, and he's very unique with his style. And the thing about Chef Grant Ackett is he actually did a 3-day stage at Al Bulier under Ferran Adrià, and that's all he needed was 3 days to open his mind and make him, without a doubt, probably one of the better chefs in the world. So I wish you the best on that, Chef. You definitely deserve it. All righty, so we're moving now to the easier questions here. Last four, is one ingredient that you can't live without in your kitchen?
I'd hate to go with something, every chef kind of goes to, and obviously, that's our garlic and everything, because, that just goes into everything. But to get a little bit more complex with it, I'm like we stated earlier, I'm all into the comfort foods and really pork is that one ingredient for me. It's so versatile. You see it in almost every different culture, you go to as far as culinary is concerned. And, I love it so much that I downright just got it tattooed on my arm. So, it's that has to say for it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it, Chef. Oh, man. That's so cool. And you know what? Pork, I don't understand how people can't eat pork sometimes. When I hear that, I just, man, you're really missing out on something amazing, because pork can take on flavors. It can be the dominant flavor. Depends on what cut you're working with, And I absolutely love it. I think that pork should be on every single restaurant menu, even vegetarian menus. Why not? You should have pork on your menu. And it's very easy to say, oh, wow. You see like this fad with the whole thing with bacon, bacon, milkshakes and, bacon candy. And it's like, any kind of pork, and I mean it, if it's cooked right, can go in any dish. So
yeah.
Good for you. Very good answer. All righty. So we're coming down to our last three. What is the craziest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, that's I don't know if I'm gonna go off the wall with this one. I've eaten everything from squirrel to groundhog. I was actually talking to a couple of guests that are old friends of mine, and we were reminiscing about finding a big snapping turtle out in a drainage field one day, and we actually cooked that up and ate it right there.
Oh, wow.
So one of those three is probably one of the weirdest things that I've had recently.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have never had squirrel, groundhog, or turtle. I would if I could. In California, though, they tend to not eat stuff like that. But if I'm ever out in your neck of the woods, as long as you're cooking it, I think I'm in for a real treat. All righty. Yeah, I'm definitely serious. So it sounds really amazing. All righty, Jake. So now we're on one word of advice for the young culinarians out there, the culinary minds, the future, leaders of America, the future restaurateurs. What's one word of advice that we can give them, that would help them to know that they're making the right decision coming into the culinary world, but more importantly, that they're really embarking on the most amazing adventure of their life. It really is.
I mean, I'm not very far off of being that kid. I graduated from culinary school a couple of years ago. I've really just put all of my efforts into what I love to do, and that's cooking. I just recently, within the past year or two, got promoted to chef de cuisine of my own restaurant here in Virginia. And it's one of those things. A word of advice is, just don't get disheartened about it. You're gonna go into any restaurant, you're gonna get yelled at, you're gonna have stuff thrown at you depending on the chef. Wipe your jacket off, sharpen your knife, get back to it. Because at the end of the day, it's what we do. It's a very high stress, high paced job. So have a thick skin and learn to love it.
Hey, man, I've been definitely hit from everything, from strawberries to even the one of the chefs. He liked to hit the bottle of the Jack Daniels a little bit more than he should. And I don't know what happened one day, but it was such a shocker. The guy just slapped me, and I was like, whoa. I didn't know if I was supposed to hit him back. I didn't know if I was supposed to, get mad. So it's like it was the longest 10 seconds of my life, and I pondered, what the heck am I supposed to do? And it was weird. But one thing I could tell all our young culinarians, just to follow up on what Chef Jake was saying, is, go with your heart and keep doing. If you're so in love with this business, then you have to understand there's going to be a lot of great times, but there's going to also be a lot of bad times. And, sometimes, the best way to learn something is to be humiliated and scolded. Me personally, I don't do that because I just don't live in that age of the tyrannical chef. However, I'm also a husband and a father, and I'd be devastated if someone yelled at my children like that or got upset with my wife. So I always try to remember that. Good word of advice there, Chef. And the very last thing is this one, and this is the one for all the marbles. Drum roll, please. What is the most untamed thing you've ever done in the kitchen?
I'd have to say is creating a vegan menu from scratch with, you know, probably about 10 or 15 minutes to go before service.
Wow.
Last year, I actually run a restaurant for the scientific community, you know, and I take care of a lot of their needs so that they can, you know, focus on, you know, bettering the rest of humanity and society. I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with Alan Alda. He was a famous actor, you know, most well known for being Hawkeye Pierce in MASH.
Yeah.
He's also of a very scientific mind. I was told, you know, he's coming into the restaurant tonight, you know, put up a special menu for it and good to go. 2 hours later, I'm prepping. They come up. Oh, by the way, he's vegan and he's going to be here in half an hour. So it's that was, you know, I had to put all my bacon away, all my pork away, and, you know, kind of start over from scratch. And, you know, we were able to put out a really nice meal in, you know, less than an hour, completely vegan. So it was that was probably close to the top of the list.
You know, that's really unique what you're saying there, because I tell all my chef buddies all the time, and if you guys are hearing out there, restaurateurs, whoever's out there by way of the wonderful airwaves of Grilling Ideas, remember that the vegans, they have money. They like to eat just as good as the guy who can consume, you know, a 4-pound, you know, steak. So treat them with love, treat them with respect, and I promise you, you'll be glad you did. First of all, doing the vegan menus as opposed to doing just a regular menu for somebody who eats meats and who likes to have all types of different proteins. If we're willing to show that much more love and appreciation towards our vegan clientele, they really will take care of us. And it's very important that we give that respect because, you know, there's more to vegan menus than salads and omelets. So I'm just throwing it out there. Get creative. I can cook, you know, tofu 25 different ways, and I've done it any way you could cook a steak. I could cook a piece of tofu, and I'm telling you right now, Jake, it's so much worth it. They appreciate going the extra mile because they are not a nuisance to us. They are guests, they are clients, and we have to give them as much love as we do to everybody else. I think that's very important. All righty, Chef, so that is the breakdown of our show questions. So what we want to do now, and you kind of were touching base in this, tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how this is helping America, because this is very, very unique what you're doing. You're kind of doing a little bit of everything, but the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, like I touched on earlier, I'm actually I'm part of a crew that we cook for the scientific community. We actually are working in conjunction with Howard Hughes Medical Institute. You know, they're doing a very large amount of humanities research and, you know, environmental research and everything like that. You know, and they have a couple of very premier locations out in Virginia, one of which is Genelia Farm, which is where my restaurant is located. And, you know, we want to make sure that that these people are, you know, treated well and they're able to really concentrate on what they're doing, because at the end of the day, what we do as chefs is we're going to make a person happy for a while. You know, they'll have that memory. But at the end of the day, you know, these scientists, we want to make sure that they have those memories and happiness and can translate to that to their work and, you know, do that for billions of people. You know, one of the really special things about the restaurant is we actually change our menu weekly. I do 9 new special items every single week from all over the world because we have scientists coming from all over the world. I think right now we actually have a group of Dutch, a group of Germans, and several people from Asian descent all over Southeast Asia. So we're able to, you know, touch on each different ethnicity and really kind of give them a piece of home here. And that's one of the biggest things at Chef is we want to bring that smile to somebody's face and say, you know, this is what I remember, you know, when I'm at home.
So how is it all funded? I mean, I'm just curious, Chef. I would imagine, is this kind of like nonprofit, or is this like an actual you know, business? I mean, because this is this sounds amazing.
It's the Howard Hughes is actually a self-growing fund, so it is a nonprofit. And you know, we have contracted companies, which I'm a part of, that are come in to really take over that kind of extra role of, you know, food service and anything else, any of the amenities that these people would need. And the restaurant itself is essentially a nonprofit. You know, we're not out here to strike it rich. You know, serving these people, we just want to make sure that they're having a good time. They're away from their families and away from their you know home countries for anywhere from months to years at a time doing research here. So we just want to give them the best time that we can while they're here.
I think that's amazing. Yeah, it's like a lot of these different restaurants you hear about, you know, and they're part of, like, you know, let's say Google or Yahoo or something, and they have these unique chefs and unique dining options that they get to have because of what they are doing. And, you know, the fact that they're trying to – we always have to show that appreciation and respect towards science. I mean, it is amazing the things that, you know – man has discovered, you know, by the grace of the Lord, to be able to enhance and advance, you know, technology and stuff. I really just think it's amazing. And what's more important, the fact that I always say this all the time to my kids. I say this to all my clients. If you eat good, you're going to perform good. So I know darn well, Chef, you guys are out there rocking and rolling with some amazing things, and you're making sure that everybody is eating well. And I think it's very important, you know, what you're doing. And so I got to ask, Chef, I mean, is this permanent? I mean, or is this just a growing, you know, for your working at a place like Joe, or do you plan on opening up your own restaurant one day? What's the big long-term goal here?
The big long-term goal for me, you know, is, you know, going back to the short term for a second, you know, I do enjoy my work here. It's extremely rewarding to be able to go out and know that I'm helping these people that are helping the rest of society. As far as a long term goal, obviously I am a chef at heart. You know, I want to be that creativeness and you know, put my own stuff out there. And you know, obviously set the bar for, you know, my future family. You know, to make sure that they're taken care of as well. So, you know, ultimately I'd like to have my own place, you know, and really just do the food that I want to do. You know, obviously we get a lot of freedom here, but at the end of the day, you know, we're still cooking for another client. And I put my heart and soul into it. And then there's just those days that, you know, it's like, you know, I could do this for myself. I could go out there and you know, have my own restaurant, go out to the farms, you know, pick out the animals that I'd like and pick out the produce and all that stuff. So long-term goal is definitely have my own place. So
it sounds absolutely amazing, Chef. So I guess the last thing I have to say here is, you know what, if we want to get a hold of you, you know, do we got numbers, websites? What's the best way to get a hold of you? And you're also friends with me on Facebook, so everybody can get a hold of you by way of social media. But go ahead and plug it in, please.
Yeah, like you said, Facebook. Anybody wants to, you know, send me a message or you know, friend request me, I'm on there every night when I get off. Sometimes during the day. As far as personal contact, email is probably the best way to get a hold of me. You know, being an active chef in the industry, you know, obviously hours are long and odd. So you're more than welcome to hit me up at chefjs@91@gmail.com. Or through any social media, just look up through Albert's Facebook page, and you'll see me right there playing with a big vat of liquid nitrogen. So
I love liquid nitrogen. Oh my goodness! You know what's funny, Chef? Is my wife, she won't let me have liquid nitrogen because she, and I quote, the kids will freeze themselves, and I don't know how possible that is. I it's funny because I'm trying to be serious, but I think, what if they really did freeze their cell? How funny would that be and sad at the same time, I guess. So I do a lot of ice cream and stuff with dry ice. We shave it down and then we mix it in. And it's funny because it's actually shocking your tongue while you're eating because it's so darn cold. It's I believe it's 121 degrees below zero, whereas liquid nitrogen, I believe, is 340 something negative. Oh, my goodness. That's
cold. Yeah, it's negative 200 C. So for those math inclined people, do the conversion there.
That is, wow. You know, maybe she's right then. I definitely don't want them to freeze themselves, but I have to say, Chef, thank you for taking time out of your day, you know, to, you know, share with us. It really is an honor, and it's always amazing when we get somebody who's helping to change the world every day. So let's just give, you know, kudos to Chef Jake for every single time some new scientific breakthrough comes out, that we give thanks for the his chefs like him and his team who are feeding these guys and these gals so good that they're just starting to get the scientific methods down that we need to make our lives a lot better. With that being said, Chef, it has been a pleasure and it has been a real honor. And you come back and visit us again really soon. And if you want to follow Chef Jake, he's on my Facebook page, or you can just Facebook Jake Summerfield and you'll see a picture of him playing with liquid nitrogen. And well, it looks like a lot of fun, man. I wish I could play with some liquid nitrogen right now, but I got a radio show to do. So it's a
thank
pleasure,
you very much, Albert. It was a pleasure.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much. And to all my wonderful foodies out there, you guys are rock stars. I love you. Follow me, and let's make history together. We are on a 6-day and 23.5-hour lunch break, and we'll be back. Thank you.
Radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.